Hi, this is Warwick Merry from warwickmerry.com. I was asked to present at the 2015 Australasian Incentives Meetings and Events Expo. It was a great session. We were talking about secrets to successful sponsorship management. The presentation seemed to go down a treat, so I wanted to share the recording with you so you could learn from some of the great tips, tools and techniques that are covered in the presentation. We also do a live session with someone and talk about where they can get their sponsors from. I think you'll get some great ideas from that session. Now, unfortunately, my host for the session, the Professional Conference Organisers Association of Australia, had their two key members of staff called away on a short notice. So they weren't there to introduce me. Not a problem. As a corporate MC, I was happy to introduce myself and even got a few laughs. Let's go to the recording now and have a listen to the presentation. I hope you enjoy it. I've been given the dubious honour today to introduce our next speaker. Sometimes, you know, when you run events, stuff happens and you find that you don't have enough facilitators or the speaker doesn't turn up last minute. Well, that's what's happened today. The people who were introducing me, both of them, because there was two, had to leave urgently this morning. So I said, not a problem, I'll introduce myself. I hope you don't mind. Is that all right? Fantastic. So, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure and a warm, fuzzy feeling to introduce our next speaker. He is a legend. His mum thinks he's awesome, his brother less so. But he's going to be talking to you today about successful sponsorship management. All the way from downtown Glen Waverley, please put your hands together, Warwick Merry! Thank you. All right. It's one of the different introductions you've ever heard, I'm sure. Look, before we get started, it's important for me to know a little bit about you. So I've got a couple of questions I've got for you. Basically, who are you? Because I can talk a lot about me. I love the sound of my own voice and I'll talk endlessly. But I want to know about who are you so I can better tailor this presentation for you as we go. So how many people here are professional conference organisers, PCOs? Okay, a couple. How many people are event organisers? Maybe a bit more internal. Okay, great. That's cool. How many people are venues? A couple of venues. What about people who sponsor events? So a couple of people who are sponsors. Great. Okay. How many people are just here because their feet hurt and it's lunchtime? Oh, cool. We've got a few others in the back. All right, great. Look, just so you know, this presentation today, I'm speaking on behalf of the Professional Conference Organisers Association. I ran a webinar for them some time ago about this topic and got some great feedback from their members. So when AIM approached them for a speaker, they said, please, can this guy have a conversation? If you're a professional conference organiser, an event organiser, and you're not a member, can I encourage you to have a look at their website? Just Google Professional Conference Organisation Australia. They do a whole lot of different things for different event organisers. In particular, they run the webinar series, which people have found incredibly valuable. And you can have access. You don't have to be a member to have access, but naturally as a member it's cheaper. So check that out, because they've sponsored me here today, so I feel it's important that I look after them as a sponsor. Does that make sense? All right, good. So just really quickly, a bit of talk about me, because you're probably sitting there thinking, who's this bloke? What gives him the right to talk about sponsorship? So who am I? This building is the Information Technology Pavilion in downtown Dallas, Texas. I spent 12 months at a permanent trade show here. Now, there's people out in the trade show floor now who are like, oh, it's this day two, my feet are killing me. Give me 12 months, then you get to whinge about how sore your feet are. But I spent 12 months here, so therefore I learnt a lot of what to do and what not to do. And I think we've all seen what not to do in our experiences, haven't we? So I spent 12 months doing that. I then created a business with a previous business partner and previous wife. Didn't quite work out. So we created a great product and we exhibited all over Europe and America, selling this product to the International Coach Federation conferences all around the place. So it was a great way to have a tax-deductible holiday. But also, it was a great way to learn a lot about sponsoring an event and how sponsors are looked after and are not looked after. Now, I also run my own business as a speaker. I'm a master MC and speaker, and I speak at a whole lot of conferences. And I was one of the founding members of the Exhibiting and Sponsorship Institute. Many of my clients have me host their event as well as look after their sponsors and train up their exhibitors as well. That's just really high level of who I am. But before I go any further, I've got an important question. Now, you've obviously seen on the guide, you know, successful sponsorship management. You've taken the valuable time out of your day to be here. So I want to know, what do you want to know? Because I can talk about stuff, but if you don't know what it is, it's not going to be very helpful. So I need some ideas, and this is where the chocolate comes in, because I believe in rewarding. So who's going to give me an idea? Here's the one over here. What would you like to know? How to create long-term relationships. Hope you like crunchies. Yeah. How to deliver the best ROI. Fantastic. Oh, sorry. That's worth one. You look, let me give that to you. I'm terribly sorry. Don't sue me. Thank you. For those of you who don't know, ROI stands for return on investment, which is everyone talks about, no one does.
How to promote non-tangible benefits.
Ah, yes. How do we promote the stuff that isn't money? Cool. Yep. Great. Who are some of the best sponsors? Where do you find them? That kind of stuff. Yeah. Ah, how do we get the sponsors to get more people in the room? That's a good one. Developing an effective proposal. Not going to cover that, but have a chocolate anyway. But what I will talk, now it's important that you know this, isn't it? But what I will talk about is how do I sell better? So I think we're going to cover a few things. At the back here, people who are shy, sitting in the dark, don't want to be up the front. Yeah. When's the best time? Fantastic. That's for you. You had a question?
Yeah. How do you sell your audience?
How do you sell your audience to the sponsor? Magnificent one. Awesome. How do you match up the demographics of your event with the demographic of the sponsor market? Fantastic. We're going to be here for 3 days, ladies and gentlemen. One more at the front. Types of sponsorship. Awesome. Fantastic. All right. Does anyone just want chocolate anyway? All right. No guarantee on the throwing, okay? Just going up, get ready to catch. There's a few more over here. Anyone over here want some? Oh, that's at the back. Hang on. Watch your eyes. You've got safety goggles. Oh, hey! Almost made it. All right. There's more. All right. There'll be more questions. I'll just pop that there. All right. Great questions. I will cover each and every one of those. If I don't let me leave until you get to the answer to your question. Is that a fair deal? Okay, good. All right, let's talk. What is event sponsorship? Let me start by saying what it's not. What it's not is like sports sponsorship. You know, where it's like, I'm an athlete and I've got logos all over my clothing. That's not what it is. What sponsorship is you as an organisation or as an event saying to another company, I trust you with my community. I trust you with my tribe. Has anyone had an example or has anyone had an instance where your sponsor actually did more damage than good? Has anyone had that happen? Okay, so you have, that's worth a chocolate. Yeah, it happens. If you get the wrong sponsor, they can do more damage than good. So the important lesson is not every dollar is equal. Sometimes it's not just, let's just get the money. And unfortunately, some CEOs and some board members and stuff are like, just get the money. But you've got to look long term and making sure that it is the best fit. So make sure you're very selective. Sometimes your success, in fact, my personal belief is your success, both individually and as a business, is what you say no to, not what you say yes to. So sometimes saying no is the harder thing to do, but the more powerful thing to do. So event sponsorship is all about trusting with the community. Think about that. You've got people who love you. Maybe you're an association. Maybe you're a PCO association. Great association. And maybe you've got a conference coming up. And maybe you're thinking, we want to get a sponsor. So the people in the association trust you. You organise all the events, you look after them. So if you have a sponsor, they're thinking, well, obviously they've talked to these people. Obviously they've vetted these people. Obviously their ethics are aligned with our ethics. So you're getting a hand passed of trust. Now, it's probably not what you came here to find out, but it's really important to understand that there is a big trust issue in sponsorship. And it's important to consider that because the damage it can do to your brand is colossal. So make sure that you keep that in mind. So more openly, what people think of event sponsorship is this. Pay some money, get a booth. You know, and if you look at the booths out there today, these are essentially as exhibitors, they're, they're sort of like sponsors, and they've paid the money, they get a booth, and it's up to you what you do with it. Now, there's types of sponsorship people were saying before, and I often get asked, you know, what's the best way to do sponsors? Should we do platinum, gold, silver, bronze, or should we do, you sponsor the dinner, you sponsor the lunch, you sponsor that speaker, and you sponsor this. What's the best way? There is no best way. I'm sorry. I'd love to say, here it is, this is the only way, and it'll work. There is no best way. You've essentially got to suck it and see what works best for you. The joy of platinum, gold, silver is bundling. And in the bundling, you can present more value at a lower cost because you can disguise it within the bundle. If you're saying you get to sponsor the dinner, it's very concrete. This is it, that's what you get, that's it. So, and you can sometimes combine the two. As an example, one of my clients does the platinum, gold, whatever. And they came to me and they said, one of our gold sponsors wants to put stuff on the table during one of the dinners, not the gala dinner, but a previous dinner. And I said to them, whenever you get a request like that, the answer is always yes. You want to do that? Not a problem. We're happy to upgrade you to a gold plus sponsorship deal. That's an additional $3,000, and you've got to pay for all the material. Why would we let them do it but not the other gold sponsors, and then you're going to have all the other gold sponsors come to you going, how come they got to do that? No one told us. I love the fact that they wanted to do it. That's awesome. So it's up to us to then sell it. So be flexible. Sell your bronze, silver, gold, but then take on options. If they want other stuff, great. So that's the gold plus, and then the gold plus, plus, plus. Or the, you know, gold with a silver ring on it. Whatever. But let your sponsors help you evolve what the sponsorship is. Because in essence, they want access to the crowd. And that's what you're giving them, access to the crowd. Whether it's face-to-face or whether it's electronically, although I would strongly discourage the electronic access, and I'll talk about that in a sec. So the event sponsorship really is about partnership. It has to be a partnership. It has to be a two-way street. Now, unfortunately, I've seen too many instances of organisations going, hey, will you be our sponsor? Great, that's $50,000. Thanks for your money. See you at the conference. That's it. Take the money and run. Why would they sign up? The stats that have just come out at the start of this week, and it's on the PCO website, where the Business Events Council of Australia released that the events industry in Australia, events and meetings industry in Australia, is worth $40 billion to the Australian economy. Now, as organisers, we're all thinking, how can I get some of that? But it is, you know, it's $28 billion in direct spend and $12 billion in indirect spend. So it's like, how do we get access? And that full report's on the PCO website if you haven't received it already, and you can access that. Some stats coming out of the UK is that of the top 250 FTSE, which is Australia, same as the, hang on, there's a camera. Take it. We know we love it. Nice. Hey, I'll take the opportunity. So the research coming out of the Europe is that the top 250 FTSE CEOs, 51% of them feel that meetings and conferences are an expense, not an investment. That is so dangerous. Because an expense is something you cut. Or an investment is something you throw more money at. So you've got to make sure that your sponsors and your organisation understand this is an investment. So you want to measure return. And we talk about ROI, and I measure the three R's. ROI, ROO, ROE. Return on investment. Return on objective. Because sometimes you're doing trade shows or you're getting sponsorship or you're sponsoring an event not for financial reasons. There are tons of reasons. It may well be, I'll talk about that in a sec. So we'll talk about some of the reasons in a sec. And the first one, the ROE, is return on energy. Now by that I mean in business you've only got so much energy. So you've got to be really focused on where am I going to focus this attention? Where am I going to give my energy to get that return? And be very selective about it. So why have sponsors? And this is the, you know, why would I have a sponsor? Why would I be a sponsor? And in talking to most people, they'll say it's for the money. That's worth a prize. I can tell a few people are like, yeah, just give us more chocolate. There was some money here. Who wants the chocolate? There we go there. You want some chocolate too, don't you? There's another one on the floor underneath it. Anyone else want chocolate while I got it? Yeah, good. Yeah, sit at the front. That's a good idea. So money's the first one. There are tons. One of the things that we've done with our team is I've got a list of 100 reasons why you'd sponsor an event, and on those hundreds, nowhere does it say money. It can be you want to increase your branding. That's the worst reason ever, but a lot of people use it. It's a good branding thing. My thing is if you can't measure it, you don't do it. And branding is one of the hardest things to measure. But what you can measure is it's a great way to interface directly with our customers. I can do customer research like that on the spot. Really instant feedback, get it. It can be competitor research, because I'm looking at what my competitors are up to, because there might be some other competitors there. It may well be that you want to increase the stature of the conference by having the elite sponsor. Sometimes you'll give the sponsorship away just to have that brand at your conference. Frequently, you'll do that with a government department, because it's great to have a government department as a sponsor. And they can, because most of the time, governments won't give you money, but they'll give you contra. And I know a lot of events that will happen in a government building. And say, hey, you can use our building, and typically the smaller conferences, you can use our building, and you can be a sponsor. And you're like, wow, I've just saved X amount of bucks. And they're like, well, we've got a building that's empty anyway, you might as well use it. So it can be a contra deal. It can be, as someone was saying before, if you get the right sponsor and they love the event, they'll invite their clients to it so it boosts your numbers at your event. These are just some off the top of my head. There are so many reasons that you'd want to have a sponsor. But typically people look at it for the money. By the way, don't be scared of doing contras. Contras work, but don't do contras long term. Because ultimately someone's not getting a fair deal. They're good to start with, but if you want a long-term relationship, it's a lot easier to deal with the money. All right, the other question of where do you find them? And my theory is go where the love is. Now, a lot of people have burnt their industry because it's like, we've got an industry conference, righto, well, who are the suppliers? Let's go to them. And it's a great idea and it's always your first port of call, but sometimes if they're continuing to sponsor and they're not getting the perceived return, it's a hard sell every time. And every year they want more and want to pay less. Who's found that? Sponsors want more, pay less. Oh, look, half the room. So it's how do we do something different? And so my thing is always, you want to go where the love is. Or as Cowboy Willie says, and for those of you who recognise, yes, it is me. You know, fancy dress time. And I was shooting a TV commercial for toothpicks, and who better to sell them than a cowboy, of course. But Cowboy Willie, and I got this story off the internet, so you know it's true. Cowboy Willie was a cowboy in the Old West, and he loved robbing banks. He'd rob a bank. Then they'd catch him, go before a judge. He'd go, you're guilty, in jail, you go for a month, because, you know, it's only the Old West, so it's a month it is. Stick him in jail. Month later, gets out, first thing he does, robs a bank. They catch him, guilty, robbing a bank, in jail for a month. Third time he gets out, first thing he does, robs a bank. And the judge says, Cowboy Willie, what do you keep robbing banks for? And his response was, because that's where the money is. So for us, we want to go, well, where's the money or where's the love? Where are the people who want us? And what have we got that they want? And what we have is an audience. So it's who we have in the audience that they want access to. That's where the value is. So sometimes the best thing to do is think outside your industry and look at who wants my audience. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're running a conference for the real estate industry. Let's just say that they've got a lovely conference, you've got all your real estate agents coming in. So naturally, the kind of people you look at having sponsors for a real estate agent company are going to be people like whoever prints those signs out the front, you know, of the property. Maybe you're looking at photographers, maybe you're looking at you know, all the real estate-y kind of stuff. But if you think about who's in the audience, what's the demographic? Typically, male. Maybe a few more women penetrating the real estate market. Typically, real estate agents earn pretty good money, yeah? They probably don't, but we think they do, so let's go with yes. Let's say they earn over 150 grand a year. Let's just say that. All right, so you've got to be thinking, who wants access to people who are earning 150 grand a year? They're pretty well off. Chances are they own a house, and if not, they can get one cheap. Who wants access to these people? Straight away, I'm thinking black BMW. BMW have got to be a front runner for it. Or Mercedes. Because, you know, that's where the love is. That's their target market. Or who wants to beat BMW and Mercedes out of it? Chrysler 300C, yeah? The pimpmobile. You've seen them. They look like a pimpmobile, don't they? I think they do. The person at the front does. So, you know, but maybe you're looking at this. Who's got what they want? Maybe it's a high-level investment advice person wants access to these people because they're earning 150 grand a year. Maybe it's mortgage brokers because they want access to them not only to sell them a house and, you know, finance themselves, but to then refer them on to others. So it's looking at who have you got in your audience. Does that make sense? So here's the thing. I reckon we could do that. Who's running a conference soon? Looking for sponsors. Lots of people. All right. So the first person to stand up and sing their name, we're going to find some sponsors for them. Who wants it?
Kylie.
Hey, Kylie. All right. So Kylie, tell me a little bit about your event. The Royal Australian College of Radiologists. So radiologists, oncologists, all that sort of stuff. So give me a bit of a profile in the audience. Male, female? What sort of earning capacity? Quite a lot of money, so we're talking 150, 200 grand plus? Easily? All right. Okay, so who do you reckon will want access to these people? They're in the medical industry, they probably... Do they take holidays? They take holidays? They take lots of holidays? They take international holidays. All right, so you've got to be thinking, who wants access to these people? So just off the top of your head, who do you reckon wants access to these people? Flight Centre, there you go. Flight Centre might be an awesome one to have as a sponsor. Who else would want access to these people? Again, they make bucket loads of money, major cars. You know, Audi, get the imported people. Don't even look at Australian car brands now because A, they're not perceived as an exceptional car brand. So B, go for the Audis, the exotics, probably not. I wouldn't go the Merc or a BMW. Because people think they're real estate agents. But maybe, you know, the Audis or the anyone else who's new trying to get into, maybe the Nissan Acura or the top of the line, Volkswagen, top of the line Volkswagen stuff, you know, that kind of stuff. Who else would want access to these people? Financial planners. Financial planners would be all over them. Insurance agents, all over them. They'd love that kind of stuff. Even mortgage brokers. Now, here's the thing with mortgage brokers. I've had mortgage brokers that sponsors at some of my events, and I know, because they've told me, and I believe them, because, you know, we were working together, that they will pay $50 for a lead. They're happy, they've done their numbers, and they know. Because here's the thing, when it comes to dealing with sponsors, you need to understand a few numbers. Cost per acquisition, cost per lead, and your average conversion ratios. They're really good numbers to know. Mortgage brokers are all about numbers. They know the numbers. So they know they're happy to pay $50 for a lead. Not $50 for a client, $50 for a lead. So if you've got an audience of 1,000 people who earn $100,000 a year, they're going to be happy to pay some money for that. Whether it's an individual broker or the broker, or, you know, the broking association or the bigger brand. So maybe that's the kind of brands that you could look at. Granted, all your medical dudes are going to be there with the zuppers and the scanners and the drugs and whatever, but we expect them there, don't we? So that's, we're sort of looking left field. So does that help a little bit? So I just wanted to do that sort of live thing so you can get a bit of an idea. Where can we think differently? Where can we think, who wants access to the audience? That is the biggest asset you've got. Then it's up to you to make sure you qualify them saying, do I want that brand associated with mine? Because for example, for Audi, if you say to them, look, we've got a conference, we've got 500 people. How many in your conference? 1,300. So we've got 1,300 people who all own over 200 grand a year. Would you be interested in sponsoring it? All you've got to do is bang one of your nicest Audis in the foyer, pay us 50 grand, 20 grand, whatever the magic number is, and let's say it's $50,000. Let's just say that, right? roughly. Let's say there's 1,000 people in the audience, 50,000. So they're paying $50 per person to see it. Now, all they've got to do is sell what? 5 cars? 10 cars? And they've covered their costs. Maybe they're not going to sell 10 cars this year, but if they do a long-term sponsorship, they might sell 1 this year, 3 next year, 5 next year, because I guarantee you the oncologists all speak to each other and go, what car have you got? Oh, well, I've got the Audi R8, and it's quite good. Oh, that sounds good. I better get one of them. And you'll get that, won't you? Because your association people will talk to each other. They won't talk about their business because, you know, I don't want to tell you what I'm doing, but I'll talk about, you know, oh, yes, I've bought this. Oh, my holiday house in the Hamptons and da-da-da-da-da. They get like that. So you're going to get this internal upsell, so to speak. So I hope that's been of some help both to you and to others. Right? Okay, so how do we show the sponsor value? And this is what I was talking about in terms of educating them on how to do their job better. Most businesses are rubbish at exhibiting. Would you agree with that? How many people have you walked past in that entire hall downstairs? It's disgraceful. I came here early and walked around. I walked the entire length. 3 people said hello to me. 3. Most people would nod and back away. Think about that. They've paid $5,000 for the booth. If people are more, 5, 10, 20, whatever it is. But it's like, it's the booth. Then it's the banners. Then it's the people. Then it's the accommodation. Then it's the flights. Then it's the marketing paraphernalia. They've spent bucket loads of money. And all they do is you walk past and go, huh? Or they're on their phone, you know, can't talk to you because it's Facebook. Or they're emailing people who sent them an email from the office last week. Or they've got a table there, so there's a natural barrier between you and them before they even get started. So your sponsors are behind the eight ball to start with. How fabulous would it be for your sponsors if you said, tell you what, as part of your sponsorship deal, we are going to train you on how to do it better. Their response would be to you straight away, no, we know what we're doing. Have you had that? Oh, no, we know what we're doing. And you send them all these emails, and this is what you've got to do, and send us this stuff, and then they go, oh, you never told us anything. You know, because, oh, did you forget to click on open? You know, the whole, you know, you must be there by on the Tuesday before, and please don't wear open-toe shoes, and you must have a safety vest. And they rock up in their thongs and shorts and go, what do you mean I can't set up like this? It happens, doesn't it? So some great education is probably one of the best things. One of my clients, they've sold the platinum, gold, bronze, la 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 deal. And as part of the platinum sponsorship to help them pump their money up for it and to help add better value, part of what they get as a platinum sponsor is they've employed me for half a day to go and consult with them about their presence, both on the show floor and how we can get better value from the actual event itself. They had a bidding war for platinum sponsorship because the value was there. And they could see, not only do you get this and this and this, but we got a dude coming along to help you get more value out of it. Does that make sense? So it's like, this is, your job is to help them be successful, regardless of what they do. So it's like, how do we show that value? So sometimes you've got to measure. So you've got to go back to them and say, hey, we've had 300 people through the doors. And what we're getting from our machines is telling us that we've had X amount of sales and we've had this and we've had that, and giving them all this value so that they can see it. You've sort of got to get the value and slap them around the face. So an example, this table here, very exotic table, this one, don't you think? The sponsor paid $50,000 for it. And were happy to do so. There was only 8 tables at the event. It was held in downtown Beijing. As well as getting the table, they got 2 sessions to educate their audience. It was the audience, their niche, right in it. They were there, and they were with them every night. And they were happy to pay. And the organisation that ran the event helped educate them on how they can do it better. Another client of mine, the lovely Jenny, she's standing up, I'm kneeling down, she's not a tall girl. She has an event that she runs and she's also a sponsor of that event. So we did some training with her just purely on how to capture leads. For lead capture devices, I hate the barcode things that you've got. How many people get spam after AIM? I know. You walk past and people are like, they're Westerns. Everywhere you go, I went to the toilet, they zap me on the way in. Not quite. But it is, it's like they're zapping for no reason and all you got is a name and like I'm walking around the show and people go, oh, let me just do that. And I'm like, okay, I will never buy from you. Not because I don't love you, I think you're fabulous. But I don't rent out entire hotels. It's not what I do. I'm an MC and an exhibiting and sponsorship expert. I never do that. So don't send me your stuff because I'm only going to unsubscribe and delete. And you're going to waste your time calling me saying, hey, have we got an offer for you? And me saying, no, you don't. So what we showed her to do is how to get leads and qualify her leads and then sell to them on the spot. She made an extra 16 grand that day based on what we told her. So you can add huge value to the sponsors who just love it and want to keep coming back. The key thing with sponsors is you've got to position them. Now, I don't mean downstairs, what spot are we in? I mean, and the dude who knows how to position, he is fantastic. And when I saw this photo, I thought, this is the man who knows how to position, Will Smith. How good is that? Everyone else is like, oh, isn't my wife lovely? And he's like, check it out! How do you feel when your platinum or gold or whomever sponsored the dinner gets up on stage for their 5 or 10 minutes that they've bought as part of the appeal? How does the audience react? Oh, crap, he's going to sell to us. Oh, this is the salesperson bit. That's what you're expecting, isn't it? And they get up there and they say, we're good. I just need to let you know we're good. We're so good. It's nice to be here. We're happy to sponsor, but we're good. Buy our stuff. That's essentially the summary, isn't it? And everyone else in the audience going, yep, that's paid for dinner. Now get the hell off. How much better would it be if you said, had a facilitator or a host or someone run a panel session and could ask them questions like, so, Fred, your company makes widgets. Tell me a bit about the widgets. These are pristine widgets that come in stainless steel and plastic. Fantastic, Fred. How will the audience benefit from widgets? Oh, well, our widgets only need to last for 15 years and they're really cheap and we get economy of scale. And all of a sudden, he's telling them in the audience how they can benefit from the product. So we're giving them benefits. So they're thinking, I'm interested now. I can sell these to my customers. You're telling me how to sell it to my customers. That is of value to me and the audience. So as a professional conference organizer and event organizer, your biggest challenge is you have 2, if not 3, customers. Your number one customer is the person in the audience. They're the ones who have paid the money to be there, and they want to get all the knowledge. Your second customer is your sponsors, because they've paid money to be there. Your third customer is the CEO who's signing the checks. And it's a difficult balance to juggle and keep everyone happy, yeah? And so you've got to get skilled at doing that, and sometimes it's a different position. It's a different skill set. So positioning our sponsor is all about how do we talk them up? Rather than just at the end going, we just like to thank all of our sponsors. Without them, it wouldn't be possible. It's like going to McDonald's, you want fries with that. They don't even know they're saying it. How many times have you gone to Macca's, not that anyone else here does because it's not really food, and you buy, you know, burger and fries, and they say, do you want fries with that? I've just bought it. Oh, sorry, yeah, I say it a lot. You know, or you'll say, oh, can I have that without, I don't know, sauce on the side, and they give you sauce on the side, because they're just not listening. So we need to spice it up a little bit and genuinely talk about them. Interviews are great. Panel sessions are good. Having videos beforehand. So you can shoot a video going, hey, I'm here with our platinum sponsor, XYZ Proprietary Limited. Tell me, are you excited about coming to the show? Mate, this show is awesome. I'm really looking forward to seeing these people there. The presentations are great, but the conversations in the hallways, that's where the value is. They're not talking about them, they're talking about the show. And getting people excited. So it really is about how do I position this better? What not to do? Woody Allen said 80% of success is merely showing up. This picture was at AIM 2 years ago. Check out how big that booth is. This dude is just making a phone call, not his booth, so I've blanked him out. Can you imagine spending that amount of money and not turning up? Same with, you know, this booth here. Now, I've blanked out the names to protect the innocent, although they're not quite that innocent. But as an event organiser, I would not let that happen. If they don't show up, you better believe I'm shoving couches in there, a pot plant, a standing table, a couple of pull-up banners from the bloke next door or over the road, upgrading the little booth. Because how bad does it look when there's an empty sponsor area? So, at the very least, show up. And you know, make sure you're working with your sponsors, you know, so it is the 3 weeks out. Now, have you got all your banners and posters printed? Because if you're waiting to the last minute, the printer will reject you and it's going to cost more, it'll be a rush job. I don't know how many times they've got to do a rush job. It's like this was 7 months in the planning. You've got to know. So it is about, you know, making sure you're working, using the skill sets and making sure you're doing what needs to be done well beforehand. All right, so how to keep giving, how to keep a sponsor? It is about the value. It is about proving the ROI. It is about sitting down with them and having that conversation. I love to sign up my sponsors for next year before this event's even over. It's so, because you know what it's like, you're getting 3 months out, going, oh, sponsorship, we need people. The best time to get them is when they're on site doing it, going, how good is this? And when you go up and you have a conversation with them saying, hey, how's it going? Oh, this, like downstairs, I've spoken to a few people saying, how's it going? This is fantastic. This is awesome. Got to do it again next year. If I was AIM, I'd be down there with the form and the credit card machine going, sign here. Because now's the time they're going, I love you. Give them a month, they'll forget they were here. They could sign a bucket load of business from AIM and they'll forget. Because we're too busy. Stuff goes on. So with your events, what I'd be doing is going to them and saying, has it been good? What's happening? Blah, blah, blah. Great. Would you like to sign up for next year? Tell you what we'll do. Because you've been such an awesome sponsor and you've loved us and we love you. If you sign up right now, I will lock in the prices to this year's prices for next year. So you're getting the benefit. All I need is a non-refundable $300 deposit. Give me your credit card number. And for most of them, it's not their money, it's the boss's money. So yeah, $300, here we go. But all of a sudden, it's just locked in. And you're like, yay, at the very least, I've got $300, but I'll have half my sponsorship done before I even think about what's going on next year. So before you even go into this year's event, have a budget for next year so you know what you need. Does that make sense? Because what we're doing is making life easy for us and for them. Because they love it. You're just reminding them how good this is. It's a good time also to get them to do a testimonial for you to then sell for the other sponsors. Because, you know, the best person to sell an event or a sponsorship deal is never you. It's your clients. It's your sponsors. How cool is it when a sponsor goes, I've brought this company along because they would get great value from your event. Has anyone ever had that happen? I didn't think so. Do you want to know how to make that happen? Did you want chocolate? Because no one said anything and I think you've gone to sleep. It's lunchtime. So yes, you want chocolate or yes, you want to know how to happen? Okay, well, you'll have both? Oh, look, it's a triple cherry ripe play. There you go. All right. Anyone else want chocolate? Well, I got it. Oh, she's not sure if I'll make it. Here, I'll throw to you. You throw to her and everyone will be happy. Ready? Hoppa. They'll invite me back next year purely to give away chocolate. So this is how you make it happen. Works every time, 100% money back guaranteed. You say to your existing sponsors, who else do you know who would get value from this event? Who would you be willing to refer to us? Because then you can call them up and go, hey, Barry, it's Fred here. I was speaking to your mate Julian, who's been getting great value from the show, and they asked me to give you a call and tell you what they've experienced. You know the ads that work the best on the TV? They're the ones that are brand power, helping you buy better. Because people don't think it's the brand. Most people don't realise the brand has paid brand power or Buchanan Media Company thousands of dollars to set up a fake supermarket with all their products in the background going, your whites will never be whiter than the brand power, helping you buy better. Because they're coming across as independent. Because if I'm selling to you direct, you'll be going, yeah, of course you're selling to me. You want me to buy your stuff. Whereas if I can go to Barry and say, Julian said you should come and do some stuff with us and I just want to tell you what Julian has experienced. it's a much easier sell. So you might even start it when they first sign up saying, look, just to let you know, the majority of our sponsors we get via referral. If you know anyone, if this is successful for you, we'd love to hear from them. You'd be doing us and them a great favour. So you're planting that seed to start with. In the same way you can plant that seed of, hey, when we work with our sponsors, we are committed to a long-term relationship. We really want this to work for you. We're not into the just give us your money and fly by night. We really want it to work. And so the expectation is set up, this is a long-term relationship. Because it's easier for you, it's better for them. And then it's proving the value. And the best way to prove the value is knowing at the very beginning, what's their why? Why are they here? And this is basic sales stuff. The challenge is, as professional conference organisers and event professionals, you're really skilled at running events. But you may not be as skilled as managing sponsors and getting sponsors. They are different skill sets. And it's just important to know that. But it's about proving the value, so understanding the why to start with. Why are they doing this? What are they after? And if you know that up front, you can make sure they get it. There is nothing worse than at the end of a function, having one of your sponsors come up to you and go, wasn't really that good for us. We just weren't happy with the exposure, and not many people walked past our booth. I can't do anything about that now. But if you tell me at the front, I can change a dining area, or I can set a drink stand up, I can make an announcement. Please go and see Fred, because no one's seen him. You know, so it's like, check in on the value every step of the way and understand what they're there for. When it comes to selling sponsorship, how many people here struggle selling sponsorship? Okay, quite a few. Okay, great, thank you. It's not an easy sell, and it's getting harder and harder and harder. It used to be, in some of my contacts I talked to, they used to say it was pretty easy to get a 50 grand sponsorship. Now they struggle to get 25. There's a few people in the audience going, Jesus, wish we could get 25. So I can't even get three. So the best way to sell sponsorship is not to email. Because typically what happens is there's an email blast out to everyone on your database. We need sponsors. Sponsor our thing. Out it goes. And the first thing they do is go, delete. So what you want to do is take a step back and have a real relationship. Who is it that you really want? It gets back to what we were saying before about who wants access to your people, both in the industry and outside of the industry. What brands do you want associated with your brand? Who, you know, and shoot big. Because some of the big companies have loads of money and they're happy to sell it, happy to give you the money if you can prove the value. And you are much, just being here, you're much better skilled at proving the value than most other people who just send an email and hope someone clicks on buy and gives them 10 grand. Nice. Apparently everyone gets a copy of their slides as well. So if you're busy copying down the photo, because this is so informative, isn't it? It tells you so much. So it really is about creating that relationship and proving the value. And go in with that mindset about what is it that you're after. Call the people and say, look, we've got an event coming up and I want to have a conversation because I think it represents great value for you. And I want to talk to you about what's on offer. And don't forget, it's not about you anymore. It is all about them. All about the sponsor. They don't care about you. They don't care if your event's financially successful. They don't care. They care about them. They care about what's in it for them. It's all about what's in it for me. How can I make this? So you just talk about them. Too many people who are managing the sponsorships go, oh, it's a great opportunity for you. It's good exposure. Delete that sentence from your vocabulary. Give them proof. Go in there and say, look, we have 1,300 delegates. The average age is 35. The age bracket is from 25 to 40. They have a disposable income of da 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 da. I believe this is your target market. What do you think? Would you be interested in getting in front of these people? Because rather, you know, if you think about, for example, let's go back to, pardon me, Audi talking at the sponsoring the conference for the not cardiologists, the X-ray dudes. Getting back to that, if Audi puts an ad on television, it costs an inordinate amount of money, and they've got no idea who sees it. And half the reason we no longer have a motor show in this country is it's just not worth it. Because from an Audi's point of view, the only people going into the motor show are people who go, whoa, one day I'd like to be able to buy one, let me touch it, and then they move on. Whereas if you're really interested in an Audi, you'll go to an Audi dealership. But Audi want access to you or to your membership, so they'll be like, I'm happy to pay because I'm marketing straight down the throat of the people who are interested in my product or who are my target market. So it is about how do I focus on what's in it for them? How do I make it easy for them? And it's all about how do I make it easy for the sponsor to say yes? So when they ask, can we? Yes. What if we? Yes. There's just a fee associated. And, you know, you hold the power. You hold the asset. You hold the people. So don't be ashamed to say, yep, we can do that, and here's the additional fee. And haggle from there. And the best, you know, you need to look at, with some of my clients that I'm working with, I like to advise them that you want to, when you're doing your budgets, plan on getting probably about 2/3 of the sponsorship that you think you will, and make sure that that covers all your costs. That way, any delegate fees that come in is just pure cream on top. Not always possible, but that's what I would suggest that you aim for. If you can get sponsorship to pay for everything and understand you won't get what you want for space for sponsorship, you're in a much better position. There's been too many people I know who are running big conferences and have to cancel them last minute because costs weren't covered, they didn't get the people. And I don't know about you, but people don't tell you until about 3 days before they're coming now. Have you found that? And like, how easy does that make our job? Yeah, we'll just spend 10 grand on that speaker that you might not turn up for. It's really hard. So if you can take that element out of the equation, it's so much better for you. And you can go forward confidently. It's a challenge, though, if people don't turn up and you've promised the sponsors a whole lot of people. And it's just part of the joy of your job. The biggest question I get is, what if something goes wrong? And the best thing you can do is own the problem. Just own it, even if it's not your fault. Because the reality is, you can be happy or you can be right. I've learnt this from my wives. But you know what I mean, yeah? Sometimes you're like, it's not worth the argument with you. And I will frequently use the line, if I've got issues with person, look, our relationship's too important for us to be arguing over something small. I'll deal with it. I'll fix it. I'll get it fixed. And if that means that some of your sponsors, if they're not happy, say, tell you what, next year we'll give you half price. Sign up for half price, you get the same deal. It's too important for us to quibble over. Just, and all of a sudden they've gone, wow, you do value our relationship. You do see how important we are to your event. This is a true partnership. And stuff will go wrong when we're in Europe. Now, let me preface this by saying, any Americans in the room? Oh, let's go on. Now, I've got some beautiful friends who are American. I love them, but Americans sometimes don't really understand that there is a rest of the world. Have you noticed that? And so we're at this conference in Italy at Lago Maggiore, and they were sponsoring out of the States, and they forgot about, you know, customs. And so they had the stuff shipped to arrive, you know, right on the start day versus going, we need to add a couple of days to get through customs. And so conference opens, they got nothing, nada, zip, nil. Like, they didn't even have the backup emergency stuff in the suitcase just in case it gets lost, because they knew it was just going to get there. And so they've got the big empty booth, and they're like, oh my God, what can we do? And so I had a bit of a conversation with them, pardon me, and came up with a solution, which was, there was two things that we did. Number one was we started basically a book on guess what time and date our stuff turns up. And the winner gets a bottle of wine. They went down the street, bought a bottle of wine. The other thing was draw our logo. And so they had, you know, logo on the phone and everyone's drawing the logo. And so they've got all these hand-drawn sketches of logos up on their booth. It was the most popular booth in the entire show. Because people walk past going, what's happening here? Oh, man, our stuff didn't turn up, blah, blah, blah. Hey, want to draw our logo? Want to guess what time it is and you could win this? Oh, and while we're talking to you, let me tell you about what we do. Versus, you know, when you walk past some sponsors and it's sort of like a hungry dog sees a lamb chop? And you walk past like, ah, boom, buy my stuff, buy my stuff, buy my stuff, buy my stuff, buy my stuff. Whereas this was a very safe and easy thing. So sometimes having a problem is the best thing that can happen to you. So, you know, with your sponsors, sometimes it's emotional management when stuff goes wrong and they're sort of going, boo, to just go, we're going to fix this. We will come up with a way that makes this awesome for you. Trust me. And being willing and being open to do it. pardon me. So it really is about own the problem, find a solution. And it may not be a solution they're happy with, but it can be a solution that they can live with. And then, you know, look after them, make sure that they're happy. So who looks after yours? Do you have a sponsor manager? Or is it just, I'll get a sales team who ring up? It's really important to have a sponsor manager, someone whose responsibility is to make sure the sponsor is happy. All your sponsors are happy. And naturally, you're going to pay more attention to your mega sponsors than you are to the people who gives you free pens. But it is about making sure that they're happy and checking steps along the way. How's it going? You all right? Is everything good? Any problems? How can I help? Sometimes it's depending on your event. If you've got an event where the sponsors are always on show, it's just something as simple as having the event staff take water bottles to each stand for them. Or it's going up and saying, how are you going? Do you need to go to the toilet? I can stand here while you go. Because for some sponsors, that's just like a gift from God. Because they've been like, yeah, really, it's so, you know, you've got to look at who's looking after your sponsors. These are one of your most important assets, so why wouldn't you give that person some sort of help to do it? So what's next? Has this been fun? Has it been good? Does anyone want more chocolate? All right, because I need to empty this chocolate bag. So who wants some chocolate? All right, so this website you're seeing up on the screen stands for the Exhibiting and Sponsorship Institute, and there's some tips there. So we've got, it's about a 20-minute video on stuff you can do to exhibit better and sponsor better, so check it out. And that's the last two chocolates, fantastic. All right, but I want to, is it okay if I give you something?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Because some people didn't seem to care. So let me ask that again. Is it all right if I give you something?
Yeah.
There we go, all right. Because when it comes to dealing with your sponsors, it really is a sales process and a marketing process combined. And a lot of people don't understand the difference. Now, last week I was on radio. We had an hour-long session talking about the difference between sales and marketing and what you can do to be better at both. Now, I've got that recording. I would love to give it to you, but I need your details for it. So this little Easter party bag, if you put your business card in here, if you don't have a business card, write your name and email address clearly on someone else's or whatever. Put it in here and I will get you that. I'll also give you the top 10 tips for exhibitors, which you are more than welcome to share with any of your clients who are signing up for it. I'll also give you, I have a little Monday morning motivator, except when I forget, then it goes on a Tuesday, that's small enough to read in your preview pane and then hit delete. Because I don't want to clog up your inbox because I get you get a lot of email. And it's not a salesy thing, it's just a observation on life, and they'll just sort of keep us in touch. If you are interested in finding out more about how I can help you, your sponsors, or something at your conference, can you just write on your business card more, because you want more, and I'll give you a call in the next week or so, and we'll just have a conversation about how I might be able to help you even further. So I'm going to leave this little bag up the front and just sort of throw your business card into that. But wait, there's more. At the end of the day, you've got to be your own action hero. I've been waiting to turn into Wolverine for some time now. Hasn't happened. And I've worked out that you've got to do it yourself. You've got to find the resources that you need yourself. Action is the magic word, not words are the magic action. It would be very, very easy for you to go back to your office tomorrow and go, oh, look at all this email. I've been away. I'll just get into that the day after. You've got a bit more to do. And all of a sudden, 2 weeks from now, you'd be like, did I even go to AIM? So what I want you to do, not just from this session, but from everything you've experienced in the 2 days that you've been here, or whatever it is that you've been here, I really want you to look at what are the three things you will do differently? What are the three things that you will do differently because you've been here and get started in the next couple of days? Now, I have a 100% money-back guaranteed way of making sure you actually do those three things. Are you interested to hear what it is? I said, are you interested to hear what it is? Fantastic. I know it's sort of pre-post-lunch and you're a bit dying. All you got to do is turn to the person next to you and say, hey, here's my business card. Call me in 2 weeks and ask me how am I going with my three things. And I guarantee you that you'll do it because that phone call is going to come. It's a bit like when you want to exercise, as you know I don't, and and you say, I'm going to go to the gym, and you never do, so you say, right, call my friend Barry, see you at the gym, 6 a.m., we'll be there. And you both get down there looking like, and you look at each other and go, it's your fault that I'm here. But you do it anyway. So if you're serious about doing these three things, turn to the person next to you, give them your business card and say, give me a call. And when you call, don't go, have you done those things yet? It's more just, hey, did you get them done? You didn't? I'll call you in 2 weeks. So it's a bit of accountability. If I can help you at all, please get in touch. There's all my details. Can I just say a big thank you to the Professional Conference Organisers Association for having me here today. If you're interested in really cranking up your PCO business, it's important to be part of your professional association. Check that out. And I've got loads of business cards. If you want one, you can have one. Give them to your friends. Call me in the middle of the night. It's fabulous. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been fantastic. I've been Warwick.
Thanks for listening to the recording of my presentation at the Australasian Incentives Meetings and Events Expo. I hope you found some great tips and techniques to help you with your sponsorship relationships. If I can be of any further assistance to you or your organisation, please get in touch via our website at www.warwickmerry.com or www.easinstitute.com. You can email me directly at warwick@warwickmerry.com and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks for listening, and I hope your next event is incredibly successful for both you and your sponsors.